Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, 5th of April, 2026, Romans.
Happy Victory Day. This is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. So happy Victory Day today. And if you all open your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And before we get started, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word and celebrating the great victory of our Lord Jesus Christ as he won the angelic conflict, proved to the world that his salvation work on the cross was successful. And now he's seated at the right hand, your right hand, in the position of honor and glory as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And for that, sir, we are forever grateful. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have an update on the Indian Springs Easter party yesterday. It was absolutely, I wasn't there, but everybody was there. Deb was there. Was the best one ever. And we have the update. Thanks be to God for the best ever Indian Springs Easter party. The camaraderie of the Upland evangelism team, along with perfect weather, was evident from the beginning. Over 200 people came for the Easter egg hunt and Easter baskets, but the most answered prayer part was that so many of them stayed for the Easter story. Daria, cleverly disguised as the Easter bunny, got everyone's attention at the start of the Easter story by calling out, "Merry Christmas!" And they're all going, "What? Come on in." She called out, "Merry Christmas!" She then told the story of how God's plan for the Lord Jesus Christ began at that very first Christmas, and how his going to the cross and subsequent resurrection was the whole reason he came to earth on that first Advent, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The grace gospel was given clearly and was so well received. Then the amazing grill team. The amazing grill team grilled hot dogs and bratwurst. Wow, they never had that before out there. For all those who stayed for lunch. And finally, as the children were leaving the park, they received treat bags, and the parents were given a little purple book. You know the little purple book. God's gift of love to the world, Jesus Christ. It was another amazing day with our longtime friends from Indian Springs, and they thanked our church for being so faithful in co-hosting this wonderful celebration of Victory Day. Deb, we had been going out there for many, many moons. She said it was the best one ever. And they are so appreciative that this local church, Upland Bible Church, goes out there every year and co-hosts this. It's a fantastic thing. For those of you, you might even get involved, and next year, go out and see it for yourself. It's absolutely fantastic. And who knows, they might even let you go on the Easter egg hunt too. Well, this is Easter Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is Happy Victory Day. Two of the greatest miracles that this world will ever know took place on two very special days, Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. At that very first Christmas, a powerful and miraculous event took place. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God left heaven and glory and humbled himself and took on true humanity so that he could go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. Christmas is all about the first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The second is Easter. Easter is the greatest miraculous sign that proves to the world that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And it does this through his resurrection from the dead. Romans 1:4, fantastic verse. Romans 1:4 says, who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that he is the Messiah. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that Jesus Christ won the strategic victory on the cross. He solved the world problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross. When the Lord Jesus began his ministry at his first coming, all that he thought and taught and did was contrary to the teaching of the religious leaders of his day. The scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. Throughout his public ministry, these religious leaders kept on demanding that he give them a sign. They wanted Jesus to do something miraculous, something supernatural, something tangible and visible, something that would prove once and for all that he is who he claimed to be, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Son of God. And we see this in many passages. In John chapter 2, verse 18, the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" And then in John chapter 6, verse 30, so they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" And then in Matthew 12:38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, testing him by asking him to show them a miraculous sign from heaven. Now, in all of those verses, that word, miraculous sign, is the Greek word semeion. Looks like this in the Greek. S, long E-M-E-I-O-N. Semeion. And it is correctly translated in those passages, miraculous sign. Semeion is the Greek word for something that is a miracle, something that is supernatural, something that is contrary to the usual course of nature. Semeion describes the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. And these signs and miracles attested to the fact that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the eternal Son of God. Now, I had you turn to John chapter 7. Let's take a look at that. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, starting at verse 25. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man that they," and they here are the religious leaders, this is the Pharisees, the Sadducees, so at this point in time, they asked, "Isn't this the man that they," the religious leaders, "are trying to kill?" They're trying to kill him. They look at Jesus as a false prophet. They even accused him of being demon-possessed. They did not believe he was the Messiah. They did not believe he was the eternal Son of God. They did not believe he was the only Savior, the only Redeemer. And they were trying to kill him. "Isn't this the man that they," the religious leaders, "are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? That he is the Messiah? Is that what they've concluded? But we know where this man is from, and when the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Now, then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out. He heard them talking, and he cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but the one who sent me is true." The one who sent him is God the Father. "But the one who sent me is true." That's God the Father. "You do not know him." You don't know God the Father. And what what Jesus Christ is saying, in effect, if you knew God, if you really knew God the Father, then you would know me. But you don't know God, and therefore you don't know me. You do not know Him, God the Father, so you don't know me. But I know Him because I am from Him, and He sent me. God the Father sent God the Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas so that He could take on true humanity and go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. Verse 30. At this, they tried to seize Him. The religious leaders tried to seize Him, but no one laid a hand on Him because His time had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in Him, in Jesus Christ. And they said, when the Christ comes, and the word Christ is the Greek word that's equivalent to Mashiach, Messiah. When they say, when the Christ comes, that's saying when the Messiah comes. So it says, when the Christ comes, when the Messiah comes, will He do more miraculous signs, semeion, than this man? John 7:25-31. The Lord Jesus Christ performed many miraculous signs, demonstrating that He indeed is the Christ. He indeed is the Messiah. He indeed is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He did many of these miraculous signs. The first of these miraculous signs was the turning of the water into wine at the wedding celebration in Cana. Turn over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter, this is the first of His miraculous signs. This is the first of the semeions that the Lord Jesus Christ did to prove He is who He claims to be. So here's semeion number one, the turning of the water into wine. John 2 verse 1, on the third day a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, I mean, there was no wine left. The wedding celebration is still going on, but they ran out of wine. So what are you going to do? Jesus' mother said to Him, they have no more wine. And then He says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever He tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each one holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That each one, and there's six of them, so this will be 120 to 180 gallons of wine for the rest of the celebration. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then He told them, now, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Then He called the bridegroom aside, and He said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, And then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best wine until now. This, the first of his miraculous signs, and there's our word, Simeon, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, who and what he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. And his disciples put their faith in him. So that's Simeon number one, turning the water into wine. Miraculous sign number one. Miraculous sign number two is the healing of the royal official son over in John chapter 4. So turn over to John 4. John 4, starting in verse 46. Simeon number two, miraculous sign number two, verse 46. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and he begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. And Jesus said, unless you people see miraculous signs, Simeon, and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. They believed in Jesus Christ. And this was the second Simeon, the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed having come from Judea to Galilee. That's Simeon number two. Simeon number three was the miraculous signs included the healing of the sick. And that we see that in John chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. In John 6, 1 and 2, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs, the Simeons, that he had performed on the sick, healing the sick. So that was Simeon number three, the healing of the sick. Simeon number four, the miraculous sign number four, was the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000, that was an amazing Simeon. And that's starting at verse 3. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside, and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd, 5,000, that's great crowd, coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, see, Jesus Christ has a great sense of humor. I mean, he just told it funny. He just told a joke here. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, Philip does not know what this is. And Philip goes, he asked this Jesus asked this only to test him, test Philip. For Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. He was going to have a semion, a miraculous sign. Jesus knew what he was doing, but Philip didn't. Now Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a single bite. Well, Philip crashed and burned. He didn't do so well on this one. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many, 5,000? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down. About 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He let them eat as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, of the 5,000, they all ate as much as they wanted. With 5 little loaves and a couple of fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the semion, the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." So that's semion number 4, the feeding of the 5,000. And semion number 5, miraculous sign number 5, is the healing of the man who was born blind. Turn over to John 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we start at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned?" They thought if you were blind, either you sinned or your parents sinned. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. And then he told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Now verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was on a Sabbath. And therefore the Pharisees, who hate Christ, they do not believe he's the Messiah. They think he's a false prophet. They want to kill him. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And the blind man, who can see now, said, "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. They're talking about Jesus Christ. He's not from God. But others asked, how can a sinner do such semions, miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? What do you have you to say about the one, Jesus? And he says, it was your eyes that he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. And then they asked, is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? And the parents go, I gotta love this. Well, we know one thing, that's our son, all right. Glad, it's always great when you can identify your son, you know. That's our son, all right. And we know that he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He can drive, you know. And he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ, would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And the man says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I have told you already. And you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I love that. No, we don't. But then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us, religious leaders of Israel? And they threw him out. Now Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Semeon number 5. Miraculous sign number 5. The healing of the blind man. Now the religious leaders of Israel wanted to know by what right Jesus was teaching contrary to them, their religious leaders. They wanted to know in whose name and what credentials he was teaching contrary to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. They wanted to know through what power he was teaching contrary to the religious leaders. After all of these miraculous signs that Jesus Christ performed, they still refused to believe in Jesus Christ. They refused to believe he was the Messiah. They refused to believe he was the Son of God. They refused to believe that he was the Savior of the world. Instead, they continued to ask for more signs, greater signs. The continuing demand for a sign by the religious leaders in Christ's day was the epitome of arrogance and hypocrisy. They implied that all of the other miracles Jesus performed were not signs, were not miracles at all. Their continued asking for a sign indicated that they were not impressed by the miracles of Christ, nor did they believe that he was the Messiah. They rejected him. They did not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They said no to the grace gospel. The religious leaders had scar-tissued and unrepentant hearts. They reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. They did not believe in Jesus Christ, and they wanted to kill him. Jesus Christ declared that a reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for more miraculous signs. And he did this in Matthew 28. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Jesus Christ, "Teacher, we want to see another semeion, miraculous sign from you." Jesus had done all these fantastic miraculous signs. Now Jesus says, he answered, A wicked, that's a reversionistic and adulterous generation, keeps on asking for a miraculous sign. But none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Over also in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, verse 1, came to Jesus and they tested him by asking him to show them a miraculous sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. A wicked, a reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for miraculous signs, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. The Lord Jesus Christ was very clear, very concise, and very condemning. The miraculous signs, he said, are over, except for the greatest miraculous sign of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All the others, they're all over. There's only one miraculous sign left. You put me to death, 3 days later, I will rise from the grave. The greatest miraculous sign ever. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the religious leaders had prostituted themselves by substituting religious traditions of men for the truth of the Word of God. They were unfaithful to the living and true God. And they were unfaithful to the absolute truth of the Word of God. And therefore, the only sign that Jesus Christ would give was the sign of Jonah, Matthew 12:39 and 16:4. Jesus Christ declared that the sign to authenticate that He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, was this: you put me to death, and on the third day, I will rise from the grave. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ made His resurrection the authenticating sign to substantiate who He claimed to be, to substantiate that He is indeed the Messiah. He is indeed the Son of God. He is indeed the only Savior who solved the world problem of sin on the cross. Now, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, then His claims to be the Messiah would be false and His death would be totally in vain. However, if He did rise from the grave, then He is whom He claimed to be. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He did solve mankind's problem of sin on the cross. And He has the power to bestow eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Him. Romans 1:4 again, who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Now, God the Father is the one who came up with the plan for eternal salvation, Operation Grace. He planned it. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." God the Father planned not only the salvation ministry of Christ on the cross, but He planned the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were the agents of the resurrection of Christ. And therefore, the omnipotent God could not be thwarted by Roman soldiers standing guard, nor by a stone rolled in place to seal the tomb. And when the stone was rolled away by an angel of God 3 days after the crucifixion of Christ, it was not to let Christ out, but to let man in. No force in the universe, neither fallen angels nor unregenerate man, could frustrate the plan of God, the omnipotence of the living and true God. Turn over to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning. Now, you know, I haven't seen any of you wear clothes that gleam like lightning. If you did, you would be angels. Some of you just got to work on the clothes you got now. These two men are angels. Their clothes gleamed like lightning. And so here are two angels stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men, the angels, said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Powerful right there. He has risen. His resurrection. "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Resurrection. "Then they remembered his words." The light went on. Jesus had taught them this, but it's like a lot of times you assemble in a Bible teaching church and you can hear something 10 times, 20 times, 100 times before the light goes on. It's always fun for me as a pastor to see that light go on. Got it. Luke 24, verse 6, the angels declared, "He has risen." The announcement of victory. And with that reality, light dispelled darkness, righteousness bested sin, truth destroyed the lie, life conquered death, and God defeated Satan. The full significance of the resurrection can never be understood apart from the setting in which it occurred. A tension of tremendous magnitude existed between the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two historical facts are separated by only 3 days in time. But no other events in the annals of history tended so strongly in opposite directions. The cross led the followers of Christ down to the depths of utter despair and hopelessness. The resurrection lifted them up to the heights of absolute triumph and exhilaration. What they mistakenly thought was the agony of defeat would become 3 days later the thrill of unchanging, unending victory. The disciples had forsaken everything and followed the Lord. For 3 long, difficult years, the disciples walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, and were ministered to by him. And they were convinced that he was Israel's long-awaited Messiah, and that not without good reason. His credentials were impeccable based on the Word of God. He was born at the right time, Daniel 9:25 and 26. He was born in the right way, a virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. He was born at the right place, Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2. He was born of the right lineage. He was a son of David. But during those tumultuous last days, everything seemed to be falling apart. First, the people cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel." John 12:13. Then they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Mark 15:13. And within hours, he hung between heaven and earth on a Roman cross. And then he was dead and in the grave. Now his disciples thought that that was the end. But on the third day, he rose from the grave. He was alive, vitally, dynamically alive. The angels declared, "He is risen." The religious leaders of Israel repeatedly asked Jesus to authenticate his ministry through a miraculous sign, a semeion. He promised only one. "Following my death, on the third day, I will rise from the grave." So men came to the grave on the third day. It should have been sealed and guarded. It wasn't. The stone should have been in place. It wasn't. Jesus should have been inside. He wasn't. The empty tomb had a message for the disciples then as it has for us today. To science and philosophy, it says, "Explain this event." To history, it requests, "Repeat this event." To time, it challenges, "Blot out this event." To man, it commands, "Believe this event." It proves that Jesus Christ really is whom he said he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior who solved mankind's problem of sin on the cross. And therefore, he offers the gift of eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in him. Happy Victory Day. All right, we'll take a break and come back for the Lord's table.